Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Cain. As I see it. Common sense. In a world of insanity.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the midterms are over, and the red wave that was expected to basically sweep over the Democratic Party and totally destroy them did not manifest itself. And already we are hearing a million reasons why, and we're going to get into some of those reasons why. But before we start with any of that, let me first bring everyone back down to earth. Number one, this is a disaster for the Democrats. I don't care what the Democrats are saying. I don't care if they're getting on television saying this is much better than normal. This is much better than usual during the midterm. This is not better than normal, and this is not better than usual, and here is why. Number one, Nancy Pelosi will lose her gavel as Speaker of the House. This is going to effectually kill any bills that Biden is going to try to pass. This is going to be very, very difficult for Joe Biden to get anything really passed. Number two, we are seeing areas that traditionally are blue turned red. In New York area where I am, this whole map used to be blue with one or two little areas of red. We look at the map now, and it's red with one or two little areas of blue. Now, the truth of the matter is, yes, it's true that Lee Zeldin lost and Hochul won by about 5 points. 5 points is a disaster. 5 points means that Hochul couldn't even get out the majority of her own party. And that has held true almost everywhere during the midterm. There was no major blowout except for California. There was no real major blowouts. All of these were very, very tight races and very highly contested races, right down to the wire for the most part. So before we go saying this was a disaster and this is not what we'd hoped for, remember that there are two sides to this. The other side that we have to look at is that the Democrats now are pretty much stuck running Joe Biden. Joe Biden is about going to have to be their candidate because there's no way now. I know a lot of the Democrats were saying, well, if the red wave comes, this is our excuse to say Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not the answer. We got to get them out of here, get them off the ticket. We'll run somebody else. This will be a lot better. We will reform the party a little bit and say we stand for X, Y, and Z. And we'll be able to get the old guard out and try something fresh. Didn't happen. So now they have no excuse. They're going to have to run Joe Biden, and Joe Biden ain't winning. The excitement for Joe Biden is not going to be there. Now let's talk a little bit about why the red wave didn't happen, because some of this is going to surprise you. And this is why we're going a little bit extra long today, because there's a lot to talk about. I've heard people say, well, the candidates, the Republican candidates, weren't really good candidates. A lot of them weren't quality candidates. Dr. Oz, not a quality candidate. A few other people that they thought was sketchy at best. And nobody's going to really come out for them because they're not really good candidates. Okay. Well, are you going to sit here and tell me that John Fetterman was a good candidate? John Fetterman, who opened his debate by saying, good night, ladies and gentlemen. John Fetterman, who has to have a special teleprompter because of his stroke, he cannot properly assess what you're saying. John Fetterman, who has lied and changed his mind millions of times And when confronted with those lies and told, you said you were never in support of fracking and never would be, and now you say you are, answers it by saying, I am in favor of fracking, and I'm in favor of fracking. That's a quality candidate? Is that a quality candidate? In the state of Pennsylvania, a dead man won. I'm not kidding you. A dead man actually won an election in Pennsylvania. And we're going to get to how these voting laws have to be changed, because they do have to be changed. But rest assured, we didn't have some great candidates. That is correct. But here's the difference, folks. The Democratic Party would vote for a skunk. If you ran a skunk and said, this is who we are trying to elect, every Democrat would say, vote for the skunk, vote for the skunk. There's not one Democrat who would say, wait a minute, that's a skunk. I don't want a skunk representing us. They wouldn't say it. It's only the Republicans who say, well, I don't know if that's a really good candidate. He doesn't believe every single thing I believe. I don't like the way she wears her hair. I don't like the way he dresses. He speaks a little abruptly. I don't like his mannerisms. Maybe I'll just ignore it. Maybe I just won't vote. Well, then you get what you ask for. If you're waiting for the perfect candidate in every single race, if you're waiting for the person who's basically you in a different body, then forget it. The Democrats are always going to win, because the Democrats do not do that. The Democrats coalesce and say, we will vote for anyone that the party runs. We don't do it. I heard a lot of people say, well, I don't really like Dr. Oz. I don't really like his TV show, and he seemed a little rude, and he seems a little whatever, and I don't like the way he looks, and he doesn't have that much experience. Oh, so you'd rather have John Fetterman. And I know there's a lot of people saying, well, I didn't vote. I didn't vote for Fetterman. No, well, you did. Because if you didn't vote for Oz, you did vote for Fetterman. If you decided, I'm just staying home, I don't like Dr. Oz, well, then you got Fetterman. And you got him elected, and now you're in real trouble. Because if a candidate like that can get elected, it is very clear to all but the absolute most willfully blind people that the Democrats will vote for anyone. For anyone. So let's not argue about, well, quality candidates. A quality candidate is someone who isn't Fetterman, but you ran away from Oz because, well, one time on his TV show, he said something I didn't like. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Now, he strikes me a little odd. Congratulations. But Fetterman, Frankenstein in a hoodie, he doesn't strike you as a little odd. He is the person you want representing you, correct? So let's wash that all away. The Democrats voted for a man who hid in his basement, gave no political speeches except for one or two, as if it was a drive-in movie where cars could come in, and only got about five people to those. You voted for him. So it's clear the Democrats will vote for anyone the Democratic Party puts out. The Republicans will not. Because there's always a half of the Republicans saying, well, but he's not far right enough, or, well, he's too far right. Meantime, the Democrats have no problem with that. They're just like, well, whatever. He's not a Republican, and that's all that counts. So if you do want to blame anything, blame that. That's part of it. That's a huge part of what happened here on Tuesday night. But it's not the only part, folks. And some of what I'm about to tell you is going to be very controversial, and if you're a conservative or a Republican, you're probably going to be mad at me. But my job isn't to make you like me. My job is to spread information, whether it's beneficial to the party or it isn't. And I have a big, huge newsflash for all of you. The Republican Party is not to be trusted. Now, are they better than the Democratic Party? Yes. But the old guard of the Republican Party, they're not to be trusted. There's a very good chance that some of the people in our Republican Party in the higher-ups really didn't want a red wave. We're kind of hoping, well, we'll just take back the House by a little bit, and we'll be able to stall most of Biden's plans, but we don't really want a red wave, because if we get that red wave, that's going to be proof positive that Donald Trump should run for president, and we don't want that. We want someone else. So if we get a red wave here, that's almost as if it's saying we want Trump. And we can't have that. So how do we sabotage that? Well, I'll tell you how you sabotage that. If you're Mitch McConnell, you don't back candidates in critical races for the Senate. Critical races. You don't financially back them at all. You know where you throw your money away? You throw your money away, the RNC money away, backing candidates in Alaska when the only candidates running are all Republicans. So let me explain this very clearly. Republicans are running against Republicans. No matter who wins, a Republican will be in office there. And Mitch McConnell says, let's pour a whole bunch of our money into this particular candidate and none into key Senate races against Democrats. You think that's an accident? You think Mitch McConnell's just so stupid that he's saying, well, I think it's very important that we get this particular person in Alaska, and I don't think it's all that important if we win the Senate. You think he's that dumb? You think he survived in Washington by being that dumb? Mitch McConnell wouldn't throw support behind Trump-backed candidates for the most part because he wanted them to lose. That's right. He betrayed his own party. He wants them to lose. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, all of these people who are so radical, they'll vote for Joe Biden. They'll get behind him 100%. They won't try to sabotage him. They'll say, well, we don't want him, and we do have to run somebody else, but if that's what the party says, we're going to put on our happy face and say, he's our man. Not old Mitch McConnell. He'll spend the RNC money trying to literally sabotage our own candidate. That's right, folks. You heard it right. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if you think Mitch McConnell's a nice guy. He sabotaged this election. He's not the only one, though. Do you understand that with a president that has such a low approval rating as Joe Biden, with the economy virtually crashing, with crime soaring, with inflation at such rates people don't even know how they're going to afford groceries, let alone heat their house, with the price of gasoline rising every single day and a president saying it's being lowered by a dollar when it's actually going up, you could barely squeak by the House and you may not win the Senate. What does that say about our leadership? What does that say about the people whose job it is to back candidates fully and make sure their messages are heard so that we can get the message to the people and the people can make qualified decisions? I'll tell you what it tells me. They failed. And if you're going to sit here and argue with me they failed because they're incompetent, then we look at the world through very different eyes, because those people don't fail when they want something desperately. Oh, they don't fail when they want something that's going to favor them. They just failed this time, right? Because they half-heartedly tried or didn't try at all. That's right. You heard me right. Because a huge red wave would have been a huge message, we want Trump. And they don't want Trump at all. Now, we're going to get into the reasons why they don't want Trump a little bit later. But let's just go on with some more possible reasons for the supposed red wave to have crashed. Next is, isn't it a coincidence that the Republicans are sailing along on smooth seas? Like I said, nobody is approving of Biden's job at all in any form, foreign policy, economy, anything. He's underwater in every single category. People are literally at their wit's end with this woke nonsense. And what happens? Well, the Supreme Court has decided to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, is it a right decision? Yes, it's the correct decision. I'll tell you why it's the correct decision. Because it never should have been up to the Supreme Court or the government to begin with. It should be at the hands of individual states. However, it's the job of the Republicans at this point, knowing that the vast, vast, vast majority of Americans want at least some legalized abortion, to come out and say, we want to make our message very clear. We are not going to abolish all abortion. That is a Democrat talking point. That is a lie. If we're elected, we are going to have sensible abortions. Because you see, the people who want abortion, which is about 80%, want abortion. It shrinks drastically as you go up. In other words, if you say, do you think somebody should have abortion after 8 weeks? The vast majority of people say yes. 12 weeks, it's a little lower. 16 weeks, 24 weeks, 36 weeks, and suddenly it's a very, very small amount of people. Only the most radical think 7 and 8 months is okay, let alone 9. So it would have been perfectly okay to say, look, we're going to work out something reasonable here. We understand that there's a lot of people worried about abortion rights. And we understand there's a lot of people who want it stricken completely, no abortion. We're going to set a happy medium, folks, because the majority of the country wants some legalized abortion. So we're going to set a happy medium. But don't worry, we're not abolishing anything. That's not what they did. Instantaneously, Lindsey Graham says, I'm putting a bill to abolish all abortion everywhere. Lindsey, you didn't think that was going to hurt the Republican Party? You didn't think in your wildest dreams that independents and even some Republicans, you had no poll that showed that even a large percentage of Republican women wanted at least minimal abortion rights. You didn't have that knowledge, right? That was a mystery to you, right? That's bull. He knew exactly what he was doing when he came up with that nonsense, and he knew it was going to sabotage this party. Ah, we'll just squeak by. We'll get the House still, because that's always the case. And we might just pull even in the Senate, but at least that damn Donald Trump won't get a victory lap saying, well, look at the red wave. Everybody wants Trump back. Well, they couldn't have that. So let's make sure we stir the pot with the abortion issue. This would not have been an issue. I'm telling you, it would not have been an issue. I've had people say to me, well, you said the abortion wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't have been. If the Republicans said the truth, if they got their message out and said, I don't know what everybody's so worried about, we clearly see that there's a majority of people who want at least minimal abortion rights, and we are going to honor those people. Our job is to do what the majority wants. So, yes, we will have some, abortion rights. We're not repealing all abortion rights. Whoever said that? They didn't get that message out. No, they sent Lindsey Graham out onto the talk shows to say, oh, this is a wonderful day because we're going to put a bill up that's going to stop it all through the whole country. Good work, Lindsey. Good work. That's called sabotage. I wonder who's got the goods on Lindsey Graham, because somebody does. If there's ever been a snake in the grass, it's Lindsey Graham. He will kiss Donald Trump's ass until he could tell you what he had for breakfast. But behind the scenes, folks, you better watch out for that guy, because he's a snake in the grass. So there's a big reason. Now let's get on to another reason. The Democrats, and I guess Republicans do it too to extent, but I don't think to the extent that the Democrats did it this time. The Democrats openly poured all kinds of money into the campaign funds of candidates on the Republican side that they decided they'll never win. How about if we send all kinds of money while stupid-ass, turkey-neck Mitch McConnell is squawking over there saying, well, if I'm going to help, I'll send some money to Alaska to make sure the right Republican wins. The Democrats are saying, let's send our money to the Republican most easy for our candidate to beat. Let's take a good look at the demographic of the state and the area that our candidate is running. And let's see who is totally out of tune with the values of that area, and we'll support them with our money. And when they win, oh, it'll be so easy for us to win. And they barely pulled it out. That's exactly what they did, folks. So if you're going to allow your opponent to decide who their opponent is going to be, it's going to be pretty damn hard to beat them. So how do you counteract that, you say? It's legal. Yeah, it's legal. Here's how you counteract it, Mitch McConnell and all the people in the RNC. You throw the money behind the candidate most likely to win, not the candidate you think is going to be the most likely to be against Donald Trump. Why do you fear Donald Trump so much? You got something to hide? I think maybe you do. I think maybe you do. Because it's unnatural to fear somebody who did so well. If Donald Trump had crashed and burned like Joe Biden is doing, I would say, well, good riddance, of course they're trying to get rid of him. That's what the Democrat Party was trying to do with Joe Biden. And they were hoping that this midterms would give them the reason to do it. Didn't work out that way. Well, the Republicans are doing the opposite. Oh, Trump did a wonderful job. How do we get rid of him? We don't want him in here anymore. We don't want him to be the candidate. It's exactly what they're saying, folks, because they absolutely fear this new, younger movement of Republicans, what everyone's calling the MAGA movement. That's who they fear. Now, you'll notice on the other side, the Democrats, the old school Democrats, they may not like the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and the Rashida Tlaibs and the radical side of the Democratic Party, but they still embrace them. They won't say a bad thing about them. Meanwhile, here's our Republican Party plotting against the most successful Republican that probably held office since Ronald Reagan. How do we sabotage him? How do we make him look foolish? How do we stop him from running? That's what this is all about. This should have been a red wave. And with competent leadership in the Republican Party, it would have been. Ask yourself this question. When in your lifetime have you ever seen a president with such a low approval rate? When have you ever seen a country so stifled by the economy and high gas prices and immigration and crime and everything else and still just barely managed to squeak into the House? Obama was doing much better than this, and he got shellacked during the midterms. How come Joe Biden didn't get shellacked in the midterms? You don't find that odd at all? You don't think that's weird? You're sitting over there supporting the Republican Party, and the conservatives going, seems okay to me. Well, it doesn't seem okay to me. Open up your eyes. The Obama administration was doing 100 times better than Joe Biden, and they lost their shirt in the midterms. Not this president. Oh, but no, the Republicans would never have anything to do with that. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence that Mitch McConnell sent all the money to a Republican versus a Republican contest. Just a coincidence Lindsey Graham came out with, we're going to ban all abortion everywhere. If I have my way, that's just a coincidence. Doesn't sound like it's very coincidental to me. Sounds like a plan. So now let's talk about this. What is their plan? Who do they want? Well, I mean, there's some good news. They want Ron DeSantis. There's nothing wrong with Ron DeSantis. I think Ron DeSantis is a wonderful governor and a wonderful conservative Republican. And he's done a masterful job in Florida. But please name me where Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis differ on policy. I'll wait. None. They agree on virtually everything. I don't know how they're going to debate if they do, because they agree on virtually everything. So what's the difference? I mean, the logic would be, well, Trump has nothing to lose if he gets to be president, so he's going to go scorched earth. He's got 4 years, and then that's it for his political aspirations forever. Ron DeSantis is relatively young by political standards, so we could keep Florida deep, deep, deep red under his leadership and not take him away from Florida and have him campaign starting virtually tomorrow. The man just won by a landslide, and now you're going to say, you know what the best thing to do is? Let's get him away from Florida and get him on the campaign trail, where now Floridians can say, well, he sort of abandoned us, didn't he? Oh, the second we voted for him, he's like, oh, you voted for me. Good. Hey, I win. I'm going for president. I don't know what you're going to do down here. It's not a good look for DeSantis. Now, DeSantis will try his best to juggle both. But the bottom line of the situation is what matters is the optics. And the optics are going to be, oh, the minute Ron DeSantis got in and we voted for him, he was like, hey, thanks, sucker. So long. I'm going to run for president. I'll have somebody running the state from afar. Now, whether that's true or not is irrelevant, because that's the way it's going to look, and that's what the Democrats are going to say. They're going to say, see what your DeSantis did? He lured you into voting for him knowing he had no intention of running this state, knowing he just wanted to use this to catapult his political aspirations to be president. How can you vote for such a man? He abandoned you all. And there's some Floridians who are going to say, yeah, you know what, he's right, because I got news for you. A lot of the Floridians who voted for Ron DeSantis was the first time in their lifetime they ever voted for a Republican. So why are the Republicans trying to sabotage Florida? Leave it alone. Don't give any of these independents or moderate Republicans or lighter Democrats any reason to say, I regret voting for DeSantis. I should have just went with the Democrat Party. Otherwise, you're going to turn Florida back purple. Is that what you want? DeSantis has his whole life ahead of him. Let him serve his 4 years as governor and run for president in 2028, where he will make a wonderful president. Ah, but that's not the plan. See, the plan is let's divide the Republican Party. Let's make sure that the Never Trumpers say, oh, Ron DeSantis would be wonderful. I'm a Republican and I really didn't like Trump, but I do like DeSantis. He's a little more soft spoken and a little more reasonable. And he's not as abrasive or you know, mean. So I could get behind him, while the mega Republicans are gonna say, hey, wait a minute. Quit jumping the line, Ron. We're voting for Trump. We're not voting for you. Oh, and the Democrats are sitting back, licking their lips, saying, I hope that happens. Because if DeSantis wins the primary against Trump, half the Trumpers are going to stay home. And if Trump wins, half the DeSantis people are going to stay home. Either way, it's going to be a bonanza for us, because half of the party won't coalesce behind the ultimate candidate. Don't you see what they're pulling? If the Republican Party was smart, which they've never been accused of, but if they were smart, they would go to Ron DeSantis and say, listen, you're on fire in Florida. You're absolutely on fire. Serve out your term. Don't run. 2028 is yours. Just keep doing the job you're doing. You're going to get more and more popular. Trump can't run again. We're going to need a very, very strong conservative Republican candidate, and there's nobody any better than you. So let Trump go in there and do scorched earth for 4 years. Let him try to drain that swamp, yell, scream, holler, do whatever he can, try to get this country back on the right track, and then you come along. And for 8 years, if we play our cards right, you'll be the president. But let's not divide the party right now, because if we do, we're going to lose. I already have people who are big Donald Trump supporters saying, I love Ron DeSantis, but if he's going to go up against Trump and they're just going to fight it out with each other, I'm not voting for him. I'll just stay home. And I have people who like DeSantis saying, well, if Trump gets in, I'm not voting for him. Oh, okay. Meantime, the Democrats are voting for a guy who had a stroke and he can't even articulate what he wants to say. And then you're asking me why there's no red wave? Open up your eyes. This is exactly what the Democrats want. It's exactly what the Rhino Republicans want. Don't fall for it. There's no difference in policy between Ron DeSantis and Trump. Yeah, Trump's more abrasive. Yeah, Trump's more of a big mouth. Yeah, he's more of a bully. Big deal. The country was running fine. We got DeSantis literally on the bench waiting for 2028. What more of a dream scenario could you possibly have? You know what this is like? This is like bringing in your relief pitcher in the sixth inning. When your pitcher's doing fine. And just say, well, he's a good pitcher. I like him. He's coming in the sixth. I don't know who's finishing the game, but he's coming in the sixth. No, they're coming in the eighth or the ninth, right? Well, that's Ron DeSantis. He's got to be sitting on that bench, warming up in the bullpen, waiting for 2028, saying, Trump can't run. I'll be the guy. Why should we divide the Republican Party right now? Why should we have a war between the moderate Republicans and the extreme Republicans? Why should we do that and just divide our party and let the Democrats walk all over us again? Just like they did before. Well, because Mitch McConnell's butt hurt. Because Donald Trump didn't kiss his ass. Lindsey Graham's butt hurt because I didn't get a great big position in the Trump administration. Donald Trump doesn't represent me. We want our party to be represented by who? By Mitch McConnell? You think he's a wonderful representation of the Republican Party? The guy whose wife is getting all kinds of money from China? We're screaming and yelling at the Democrats for taking money from China. What the hell do you think Mitch McConnell's wife is doing? That's different. He's got an R next to his name. Don't be that person. We have a dream scenario here, folks, if you're a Republican or a conservative. We have a dream scenario. And right now, every single Republican should be saying, as much as we love DeSantis, we want him in 2028, this is going to be perfect. We have Trump running. He can win. I hear so many people saying, Trump can't win. What do you mean he can't win? What are you smoking? Of course he can win. And do you think, in your wildest dreams, it wouldn't be a great idea for Donald Trump to say to Ron DeSantis, let's put our differences aside, that we don't really have many. We'll talk about you being vice president. DeSantis-Trump ticket would destroy the Democrats. Who the hell are they going to run? They've got to run Joe Biden, the most unpopular president in my lifetime. And I assume he'd keep Kamala Harris, who was the most unpopular vice president in my lifetime. And you're going to tell me that a ticket of Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis is not going to win? But even if he doesn't want to run DeSantis, I would actually prefer DeSantis to just go ahead and be governor of Florida and keep that state as red as you can possibly keep it, which is all red now. I don't think one Democrat won. Keep it that way. Sit on the bench and wait for 2028 and warm up, because we're going to need you. He's an important player in this Republican Party. I have nothing against Ron DeSantis. I think he's wonderful. I think he'll make a great president. I have a problem with the timing, because right now is not the key. This is not the part of the game to insert him in. This is the part of the game where you make him the voice to be heard later as the leader. Right now, Ron DeSantis could guarantee a Trump victory. All Ron DeSantis would have to do is say, I'm not running, and I support Donald Trump 100%. I think Donald Trump did an excellent job for this country, and I think he'll do an excellent job again. And I'm giving him all my support. Trump wins. DeSantis runs, like I told you. There's going to be Trump fans who say, I'm not voting. They screwed Donald Trump out of it because they're scared. They screwed Donald Trump out of it because they knew he was going to go scorched earth and he was going to name names and he was going to put people's ass in on a sling, right? I know people like that. I'm telling you, it's going to divide the Republican Party, and that's exactly what the Democrats want, folks. It's exactly what the Democrats want. Don't let them have their way. Don't let them get to pick their opponent. I don't care if Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump hate each other, which I have no evidence they do. If I'm the leadership of the Republican Party, I go to Ron DeSantis and say, don't even think about it. I know you don't like Trump. You give him your utmost support, you understand? He's your boy. And I'm telling Trump the same thing. Don't be insulting DeSantis. He's not running. There's no need to it. You went out and endorsed him. You may as well say, yes, he's great. He's wonderful. He's the future of the Republican Party. That's the line we want, because we're going to need him in 2028. But what we need you to do is tear the goddamn house down first. You go in there. You got 4 years. You're a lame duck. You can't run again. You go in there and you tear the freaking house down. Let the chips fall where they may. Get the damn crooks out of here. Reveal the nonsense that's been going on in Washington for as long as we've all been alive. And when the smoke and the dust clears, Ron DeSantis will be ready to take the nomination for President of the United States. That's the way you handle this. Anybody who's thinking, oh, DeSantis is the flavor of the week. Yeah, just ease up. Ease up. He's going to have his time. It's like people who say, let's paint the house before the furniture, while the furniture's in. You know? Well, you should have painted the house before the furniture was in, right? Now you got to move all the furniture. Oh, we just bought a new house and we put the furniture in there. Now we got to paint. Don't put the one against before the other. Let Trump come in there and paint the goddamn house. And if DeSantis is smart, and I think he is, he understands that. He understands this is going to divide the party somewhat. But ambition is a powerful thing. And I don't want Ron DeSantis to get a big head and say, well, this is my time. I have to strike while the iron's hot. No, you don't. The iron's always going to be hot, Ron. You know why the iron's always going to be hot? Because you're right. You're right in the way you handled COVID. You're right in the way you handled your state. You're right in your ideologies. You're right in your moral fiber. You're right. That's not going to go out of style. And 4 years goes by quick. You can be a major player in this Republican Party. Keep that state as deep red as you possibly can. let your name get spread out even more so there's much more name recognition, and in 4 years, you're the man. But don't divide the party now. That's the exact wrong move. This is like a chess game, and if you make that wrong move, it's checkmate, I'm telling you. And the Democrats are salivating waiting for that. We always make the wrong move. But now let's get to some other things, because there's much more to be upset about here. Do you understand that Maricopa County, once again, 40-50% of our voting machines do not seem to be working accurately, and we're not sure where a lot of these ballots went, and we're not going to keep the polls open later, even though we had to close the polling for 2 or 3 hours while we tried to sort things out. What an embarrassment to the United States of America, Maricopa County, Arizona is. You've got to be kidding me. Do you understand that the entire country's votes were counted during the Civil War when we didn't even have electricity in less time than it takes Maricopa County to just count their county? And you're going to tell me that if I say, that sounds odd, and I hope there's no shenanigans, that I'm some sort of an insurrectionist that should shut up? You explain to me why Maricopa County has said, well, we're willing to work through Thanksgiving and possibly even Christmas to get this right. Christmas? We voted in November, early November, and you're talking about not knowing who wins till Christmas? What a load of crap. Are you going to sit here with a straight face and tell me that I should not have the right to question that? Are you going to sit here with a straight face and tell me that the person responsible for making sure those votes and voter integrity happens just happens to be a candidate? Katie Hobbs? No, I have nothing to see here. Why is anybody so concerned? All we got to do is wait and see how much she lost by so we can make it up. I don't know, folks. If you want the stark difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party, you've just got it. The Democratic Party is willing to literally vote for a Frankenstein monster. And I'm not making fun of his stroke, so don't give me that bullshit. The man never had a job in his life. He said he wants to release virtually all criminals, legalize every single drug imaginable, and end fracking, which is basically saying I want to destroy the entire state of Pennsylvania. And by the way, I am not really fit to do my job because I need a teleprompter to read everything that people are saying because my brain does not comprehend it if they just talk to me, and yet you're going to send him to the Senate. That's who you're going to send. Instead of a man who was a heart surgeon. Qualified. He's not a good candidate, but Fetterman is, right? That's the Republican talking point. We need to run better candidates. Who, like Fetterman? Why don't you wake up? Why are you trying to blow smoke up our ass? It had nothing to do with the candidates we were running. It had to do with your support of the candidates we were running. There's a difference between candidates being qualified and candidates being viable. Fetterman's not qualified in any way, shape, or form, but the crap that was coming out of his mouth appealed to a certain base of audience that made him electable. Meanwhile, Dr. Oz, every chance the Republican Party got, said, you know, we could have run a better candidate. He's not very good. He's not really someone we think is. Oh, I see. Well, that's very good. While everybody else is propping up Fetterman, you're destroying Oz, right? I'm no big Dr. Oz fan. You don't tell me he's better than Fetterman? So now you see what your rhetoric got you, right? Oh, he's not the perfect candidate. He's not a little mini Mitch McConnell. If he's not a little mini Mitch McConnell says don't support him. Unreal. I mean, it's just unreal. The Republicans sabotaged themselves on a regular basis. And now you're going to do it again with DeSantis and Trump, right? Because you haven't learned your lesson. So now rather than everybody get together, and if you really don't like Trump, you swallow hard and say, yes, Donald Trump is our man. You say, who we get to divide the party? How about Ron DeSantis? Trumpers sort of like him. But a lot of them will be butthurt and they won't vote. Great. Divide the party some more. Our leadership is terrible. You don't believe me that our leadership is terrible? Ask yourself this question. Why in the world, given the circumstances that's happening in this country right now, inflation, immigration, crime, the indoctrination of our children and education, gas prices soaring, stock market crashing, why in the world was there no red wave? When there was, second term of Obama, and the country was in nowhere near this bad a shape. Why? Look to your leadership. They did it. To think they did it on purpose, because I don't think they're that dumb. Just like I tell you about the Democrats, when I say this crime and all this stuff, this is not accidental. It's not because they're dumb and they don't get it. They're doing this on purpose. Well, I'm telling you, it's not that the Republicans are so brain dead. They're like, they're doing it on purpose. Now, some conspiracies or theories are saying, well, they wanted not to be a red wave so that the Democrats were forced to run Biden. Now the Democrats are forced to run Biden, so he'll be easy to take out. Okay, well, I would believe that conspiracy theory if not for one thing. Why are you not coalescing around Trump now then? And you know what they're going to say? It's because Trump can't win. What are you talking about? He beat Hillary Clinton, who was a hell of a lot more popular than Joe Biden. Can't win if the Republicans are against them? No, you're right. And that's why the Republican Party is responsible for this. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to hear. You're going to hear, we didn't win a red wave because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump's chosen candidates, the people he endorsed, some of them did not win. Okay, they were lousy candidates, according to you. How come you didn't back them? How come you didn't back them? And by the way, just as many Mitch McConnell candidates' endorsements didn't win either. So what does that mean? You see, they're going to try to pull this whole thing off and say, it's not Lindsey Graham trying to introduce a bill to ban abortion all over the United States of America. It's not Mitch McConnell deciding he's not going to pour any money into the candidates he doesn't like, and he'll just let the Democrats outspend them 100-1. It's Trump's fault. Because that's easy. How do we get the voters who are so loyal to Trump to abandon him? Promise them a red wave and then make sure it doesn't happen. And then we'll turn our eyes tearfully to the Republican voters and say, we tried so hard. But Donald Trump drug the party down. His divisiveness and his meanness and his tweets just drove voters into recession of it, and we have to find someone else. Don't fall for that nonsense. They caused it. Trump didn't cause any of this. If that was the case, how come the people that he endorsed won all the primaries? Huh? How come the Republicans didn't reject them for the primaries? Ask yourself that question. If Donald Trump drug the party down, how come everybody he endorsed won their primary? Oh, but they didn't win the main election. Yeah, yeah, but why did they win the primary? If the Republican voters are so tired of Trump that they don't want to vote for the people he endorses, how come they won all the primaries? Mitch McConnell, how come? Lindsey Graham, how come? Kevin McCarthy? Answer me those questions. You can't, because it's a lie. Now, Ron DeSantis is caught in the middle of this. I'm not saying DeSantis is in on this. He's not. He's a guy that's caught in the middle. He's the guy that they're saying, Ron, you really got to run. Man, you're really hot. You're the future of the Republican Party. You got to do this, Ron. And Ron's probably sitting there saying, well, what about Trump? Don't worry about Trump. He's not going to, there's no way he's going to win. You're the only hope. Trump is going to lose by a landslide. You're our savior, Ron. You have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. So poor Ron DeSantis being pulled in different directions. By the puppet masters. Be smart. He will say no. Coalesce behind Trump. Let him have his 4 years. I'll be there in 2028. That's what he'll do if he's smart. If he's power hungry, he'll say, okay, yeah, you're right. I'm the man. How do we take down Trump? And you're going to lose. Because the Republicans will not turn out. A lot of mega Republicans will not turn out. Especially if you have a debate and it gets ugly. Fans are going to say of Trump and fans of DeSantis or supporters of both are going to say, well, he insulted my candidate and really did him dirty, and now that's it. I'm not voting. And boy, are those Democrats just licking their lips saying, can we get that old man across the finish line for four more years? Mitch McConnell needs to go. Lindsey Graham needs to go. We need young, strong, conservative representation. And yes, Ron DeSantis is one of those people. But his time is not now. Sometimes you have to look a little further ahead. Just a little further ahead. Now, what are we going to do about the voting here? Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to do something. Because there's no way Fetterman wins this if it wasn't for early voting. By the time John Fetterman stumbled his way onto stage to spit out whatever the hell he was saying in a debate, most of the people who supported him already voted for him. They couldn't take their vote back. Katie Hobbs refused to even debate. I refuse to debate. Well, I got news. That would be like saying I refuse to do a job interview. Oh, we want to come in and interview you for a position. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. You give me the job now, or I don't want it at all. Think you're going to get that job? Huh? You think you're going to get that job? Or you think they're going to tell you to go F yourself? So the rules should be as follows. If you're running for public office, you will debate. And you will debate before one vote is cast. End of conversation. If you are unwilling or unable to do it, you cannot run. Why is that so controversial? Why is it so controversial to say both candidates need to have an opportunity to square off against each other and express to the American people why they should have this job? Why is that a radical policy? And why are we allowing the Democrats to say, well, okay, they'll debate, but only after early voting is completed, so 500,000-700,000 votes are already in? What good is that? Just like Nancy Pelosi saying, well, you know, we have to pass the bill before we read it and know what's in it. This is your typical Democrat. We don't want to give you the information until it's too late for you to change it. Would you do that? If somebody handed you a drink and you said, what's in this? And they said, drink it first. Drink it first. Yeah, but what's in it? Eh, drink it first. Would you do it? Well, that's exactly what they're telling you. Oh, vote first. Don't worry about what his policies are. Don't worry about if he can debate. Don't worry about him having to defend his position. Just vote. He's a Democrat. That's all you need to know. Peon. You see the little D next to his name? Dummy. When you see the little D next to his name, you dumb, horrible people, that is who you vote for. You understand us? Now go do it. That's how they treat their voters. And you know what their voters do? Yes, master. Yes, master. Instead of saying, I ain't voting for anybody until I hear him debate. Why would you not want that? Why is that not a prerequisite to running for office? Everybody's got to have the same exact method of voting. This ridiculousness in Maricopa County and other places that's got to stop. Down in Florida, they counted how many millions of votes? One county in Arizona can't get it done for months. The whole state of Florida. And you're telling me there's no shenanigans going on? You're telling me I shouldn't question it? Just the way the process works. How come it didn't work that way in Florida? How come it didn't work that way in Texas? Huh? How come it's always Maricopa County? Please. Our election laws need to change. It's not election month. It's election day. Of course we have to have absentee ballots for the sick or the people overseas or the people who can't get there. Of course we do. But this nonsense, if you can vote early up to 90 days before the election, are you insane? The Democrats now have a new policy, and the policy is don't debate, don't do any town halls, shut up, sit in your basement. We'll make you a star by saying good things about you on television. Nobody can go against you because you won't answer them. And if anybody says anything bad about you, we'll just say, well, of course they do, because they're fascist and evil communists, and they don't want this country to be free. And as long as you don't open your mouth and prove you're a moron, we'll get you across the finish line. You think that's not what happened with Katie Hobbs? And then you got talking heads on MSNBC and CNN literally insulting Herschel Walker. Oh, but if a Republican ever said that a black man was uneducated, that person would be thrown the hell off the face of the earth. They'd be in the pit like from the movie 300. Oh, but here they are on MSNBC and CNN saying Herschel Walker can't even string a sentence together. How can anybody vote for Herschel Walker? He's so dumb, he can't even make one cohesive sentence. Can Fetterman? Can the President of the United States of America? I don't recall Herschel Walker telling a crippled man to stand up, and I don't recall Herschel Walker asking for where a dead person was to come up on stage. I don't recall that at all. I don't recall Herschel Walker having a meltdown and literally just going while smoke is coming out of his ears, like Fetterman. I don't recall that. Ah, but when an African-American man doesn't toe the line and does, and he's a bad boy, right? He's not a Democrat. So he's open season. He's an ignorant African-American. Who would vote for such an ignorant African-American? How could you do that? Why, he's practically a primitive. Oh, that's not racist. No, that's not racist. You phony balonies. And you're going to sit here and tell me, with the world collapsing around us, with Frankenstein Jr. running for Senate in the goddamn Pennsylvania, with Katie Hobbs, who's hiding in her basement saying, don't look at me, don't touch me, I don't want to come out. And you're going to tell me those people are going to win? Well, they may. Katie Hobbs may. Fetterman did. And you're going to sit here and tell me that it's not because the Democrats coalesce around one candidate and it's do or die, while the Republicans are already trying to cause division for the 2024 election. How stupid. I mean, how utterly stupid. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable, folks. What needs to happen is people have to open up their eyes. And that's Democrats and Republicans. There are Republicans out there who just, well, whatever the leadership of the Republican Party says, yeah, but they say different things. So now you've split your party. And in the meantime, the Democrats, as I said, would vote for Charles Manson if they were told to vote for Charles Manson. They don't care. They just don't care. So let's just do a little bit of a deep dive on what these midterms actually meant. Well, you could say that the Republicans just barely squeaked through. But actually, it's brighter news than that in some ways, because we saw very heavy blue areas turn red. Out on Long Island, up in the Hudson Valley in New York, a lot of red. A lot of red. More than I remember ever seeing. Certain areas of Florida that traditionally were blue and dark blue went red this time. This isn't good news for Democrats. The Democrats can put any spin on it they want. I mean, Joe Biden can get up there and say, I lost less seats than any president in the midterms in the lifetime. Yeah, okay. But you still lost. And truthfully, a lot of the areas that were your strongholds seem to be slipping away now. So that should be worrisome. A lot of your so-called rock stars, they're gone. Where's Beto? Where's Beto O'Rourke? He's going to take Abbott out. You wait and see. What a great upset that's going to be. Yeah, what did he lose by? 70%? Nobody voted for that idiot. His career is over. Go back to riding your skateboard and playing punk music. Your career is over. Stacey Abrams, who, she was an election denier. I should be the rightful governor of the state of Georgia. Yeah. And so you had a head-to-head matchup against the same guy you claimed you beat, and you got your ass handed to you. So now what? Where does she go from here? Nowhere. So they've lost two of their biggest stars. Remember when Beto was the man? He was running for president. Beto was the man. And then Stacey Abrams, she's going to be the future. Their future just went bye-bye. They're two-time losers. Nobody's going to give them a third. They're two-time losers. They're done. But to prove to you my point that the Democrats will coalesce behind anyone, John Fetterman was literally described on, I believe, MSNBC, but it could have been CNN, as a future star and possible candidate for the presidency of the United States. Let that sink in for a minute. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. That's how dedicated the Democratic Party is to whatever candidate their party puts out. And the Republicans have never been that way. Now, some people will say, well, the Republicans are more cerebral. They just don't blindly vote for anyone. They'll say, well, you know, this person doesn't really represent my values, and that's better. It's better to be that way. Okay, well, maybe it is better to be that way, but then accept the fact that you're always going to lose. Accept it. Because we have very extreme parts of the Republican and conservative party who want every abortion ban for every single reason, like Doug Mastriano. Even in cases of rape and incest or what, life of the mother, it doesn't matter. No abortion, no. And then we have very moderate Republicans who say, well, we think, yes, maybe marijuana should be legalized completely and maybe another drug or two. And, yeah, it probably should be some abortion up to whatever. You're not going to make everybody happy. You're not going to make everybody happy. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came right out and said, I'm not happy with Joe Biden. There's a lot of things about Joe Biden that he doesn't go far enough. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. He's promised this. He's promised that. He's not doing what he said. He's not doing this and that. And then when asked, if he runs, you voting for him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Meantime, we got Mitch McConnell saying, oh, Donald Trump, how am I going to get him to not run for office? And how am I going to get all his supporters to come over to some other side? So you're trying to sabotage your own party. Congratulations. You're a rocket scientist. What a master strategist. What a master strategist. You've led us into literally a sinkhole. Because by all means, this should have been a total rebuking of the Democratic Party. And would have been. And would have been. With proper leadership in the Republican Party, this would have been a tsunami. That's why everyone was predicting it. Even the Democrats said it was going to be. But they didn't count on how poorly represented or plain out sabotage the Republican Party was by their leadership. The difference, folks. That's the difference. Now, what's going to happen? Well, I think we're going to take the House with probably 224, maybe 225. You need 218. We'll get a few more than that. We'll at least get 220. But I think we probably could stretch it out to 224, 25. What's going to happen in the Senate? Well, it's looking pretty good in a couple of the areas. I don't know what's going to happen with Herschel Walker. I don't know. They're going to have a runoff. That's not going to be till December. I don't know what's going to happen down there. We'll see what happens. I still think we have a chance to take it by like maybe one seat. Maybe. or it's going to be 50-50 again. And if that's the case, then Kamala Harris has the deciding vote and nothing changed. Nothing changed. So that's where we're at. It may not have been a red tsunami or even a red wave, but it certainly wasn't a blue tsunami or a blue wave or even a blue trickle. They lost more seats than they gained. Now, historically, they lost less than normal, but they still lost. It's like saying, okay, you beat us, 2-1. We still won. If we beat you 22-1, did you lose worse? I mean, you could say, well, we got shellacked, but it still goes in the record book as you lost. 1-0 or 100-0, you lost. And more critically, you lost a couple of your main stars of your party in Beto O'Rourke, Stacey Abrams. Nancy Pelosi will no longer have the gavel. And we've managed to turn Florida into just a solid red state, just a solid red state. You also have to remember that some of the blame for this comes from the fact that so many Republicans are fleeing Democratic states and going to Florida. New Yorkers are leaving en masse, and most of the New Yorkers that are leaving are not Democrats. Most of the New Yorkers that are leaving are Republicans. So when you have 850, and that's the total, 850 people a day moving to Florida, and 80, maybe more than 80% are Republicans. Well, that's going to be a deep red state. Fortunately, that's going to leave the state that they're leaving to be a deep blue state. And we're going to become more and more and more divided. The lines are clearly being drawn here, folks. The lines are clearly being drawn. There's going to be states that are as deep blue as can possibly be, and you can run a dead man just like they did in Pennsylvania, and he'll win just like he did in Pennsylvania. And then there are going to be red states where you have no problem getting a Republican in. He'll win by 25 points, just like Ron DeSantis did. But that's not really good for the country. If we're dividing it like it's the Mason-Dixon line and literally saying, this is Democrat area, this is Republican area, boy, I'll tell you, that's Civil War stuff, right? It's not really what we want. I'd like to see a mixture all across the states where we say, well, you know, it's a crapshoot in every state. They're going to vote for the people they think are best suited to run their state and best suited to run the country. Wouldn't that be ideal? Instead, we're seeing these mass migrations where people are saying, New York's too blue for me. I'm heading to a red state. Texas is too red for me. I'm heading to a blue state. Okay. Well, all we're going to do then is divide that map. We got some rough times ahead here, folks, I'm telling you, because the vast majority of our politicians, be they Republican or Democrat, are not looking out for the best interest of this country. We do have some superstars. Ron DeSantis is one of them. But unfortunately, when you fall into a snake pit, even if you're not a snake, you better act like one, or you're going to get bit. And that's the problem I have with DeSantis running right now. DeSantis is being coerced by a party who clearly wants to rid themselves of Donald Trump for some bizarre reason unknown to me, since he did so well. I could speculate, but that's all I can do. And they figure, well, DeSantis has the same exact policies, so maybe he'll be Trump without the goods on us. Maybe he'll be Trump without the drain the swamp mentality. Maybe he'll be the I'll overlook the swamp for the good of the country and just do the best I can. No, I want the swamp drained. Because at the end of the day, when the swamp is drained, you're going to find out exactly what I said is true, and that is there's an awful lot of Republicans living in that swamp who has fooled you and fooled you and fooled you for years and years and years and never had your best interest out at their heart. They had their own best interests at heart. That's what's going to happen. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Well, remember where you heard it. Be- because it's going to happen. If Trump gets in, I fully think he's going to go scorched earth, and that's what they fear the most, folks. That's why they're trying to stop him. If you knew a guy was going to come into office, clean house, and say, hey, you're one of the corrupt ones, even if you're in my party, you're getting bounced. You're getting revealed. You're going down with the ship, my friend. No party loyalty here. The bad ones are going. What do you think you'd do? You'd fight as hard as you possibly could to make sure that guy didn't get there, right? Think about it. With Donald Trump's popularity, Republicans be so against, the leadership of the Republicans be so against him. What would be the main problem? Well, we don't think he can win, come on. But you thought Bush could win, right? You thought Jeb Bush could win. But not Trump. Okay. Well, I'm not buying that. I'm buying that the shit's going to hit the fan. Trump is going to say, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, if you were one of these people that were in the swamp, you're being outed. People are going to be held responsible. I've only got 4 years to do it, and then I don't give one damn about what happens in politics because I'll never hold another office. I am going to come in there, scorched earth, and do what I have to do, clean house, and that's it. That's what you fear. And you figure DeSantis won't do that. DeSantis got a whole political career ahead of him, including if he won a second term. That's why Trump didn't do it in his first term. People always say to me, why didn't Trump just do it the minute he got in? He needed that second term. He needed to immerse himself into the swamp to figure out who the swamp creatures were. He kind of knows now. And now they know he knows. And now they know he has nothing to lose, nothing. If he wins the presidency, that's it for him. Nothing to lose. And a guy who has nothing to lose, well, what's he going to do? He's going to let all the cats out of the bag. Ron DeSantis won't. He won't even know the cats are in the bag for a while. And that's why I say DeSantis has to wait. So if you're disappointed that there wasn't a huge, huge red wave, just remember this. We won. The American people clearly spoke, and regardless to what anybody says, even in deep blue states, with the exception maybe of California, it was really close. Candidates for the Democrats who should have won by 15 points won by 3 points. So what does that mean? It means that many people from their own party are deserting them. It means they're not as popular as they should have been. They don't hold control over as much of the state as they used to. And the Democrats know that. They're putting on that happy face saying, we lost less seats than we thought and less seats than ever for a president. But deep down inside, they're looking at that map saying, we lost what areas? We barely won in this area? Did you see CNN and their utteral gasps when they found out that Ron DeSantis won Miami-Dade County? I believe the exact expression was, wow. And the guy saying it was shaking his head like he was reporting that an earthquake happened. I don't know. Yeah. They see it slipping away, folks. They understand that the people are waking up. And maybe not quite enough to push us over into this red tsunami, thanks to the Republican leadership, thanks to the Democrats pouring money into candidates they felt were easy to beat. But they just barely beat them. How would you feel if you said, I'm going to pour millions and millions of Democrat money into a Republican candidate that's so weak he can't possibly win, and then you only win by 2 points in an area you should have won by 20? How would you feel? I know how I'd feel. I'd feel like the wolves are at the door. I'd feel like, uh-oh, if we hadn't poured that money into that candidate, we would have lost by a lot in our own counties. What's going on here? So the Republicans got to understand one thing. The Republican voters have to understand one thing. Democrats are plenty scared. They're plenty scared. They're taking a look at that map, and they're taking a look at what their candidates won by, and they're saying, this is not good. This is not good. We should have won by way more than this. So there is a red wave, kind of. they built walls for the wave. Republican Party did. RNC did. Democrats helped it along. And so a lot of the water didn't get through, right? But they're still running scared, I guarantee you. You take a call before we wrap things up. Caller, are you there?
I am here. Good day, Marcus.
How are you?
Just a comment. I'm good, thank you. just a comment on some things that I've, you know, my observation, really. I don't think this was a red wave. It definitely wasn't a blue wave. But I don't really think that much has changed. I think that there were some candidates that were helped into the primary, but had no chance at the general. I know Herschel Walker and Warnock are going to a runoff. I don't have much faith, honestly, for that. And Dr. Oz, let's face it, was not a good candidate. John Fetterman should not even been in the...
Yeah, but wait a minute. You know, you're going to say he's not a good candidate, but let me take umbrage with that. He's not a good candidate, but Fetterman won. So you're going to tell me that because Oz wasn't a perfect Republican candidate, that a guy who can't even utter sentences correctly won, and because he is a good candidate, doesn't that further exactly what I said, that the Democrats will vote for anyone and the Republicans want to cherry pick every little tiny thing, and if they're not exactly to their standards, they won't vote for them?
Well, what I think would happen was that a lot of the Republicans that were in the state just didn't get out and vote. I don't believe John Fetterman won because, you know, they had a massive turnout in Pennsylvania. I think that they had a massive turnout in the Democratic areas. And
okay, but then let me ask you this. That's exactly what I said then. Why did the Republicans not get out and vote? Because Dr. Oz is a weak candidate. Okay. Well, then you voted for Fetterman. You understand? Oh, Dr. Oz doesn't believe every single thing I believe. Therefore, I refuse to vote for him. Meanwhile, the Democrat voters are saying, this guy can't utter a coherent sentence, but I'm still voting for him because he's a Democrat. So who's going to win that every single time then?
Yeah, I mean, they'll vote for anybody. The Democrats will vote for anybody, and that's what killed, really, Pennsylvania. There, you know, the Democrat leadership is going to just walk right all over him. He's going to be insignificant,
of course,
and have no decision-making powers at all. I'll be surprised if they...
No, he's a figurehead, just like Biden is a figurehead. Fetterman will be a figurehead. That's what they want. They want people that are easily controlled that can just be a figurehead. But the Democratic voters will turn out for them. While meantime, our representatives are not getting the message to our voters that if you do not vote for this candidate, just because maybe one or two issues you don't agree with them on, you're going to end up with a candidate that you don't agree with on anything. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying, well, I don't want to go to this restaurant because they don't have good dessert. Now, okay, I admit they have good entrees, but I don't like their desserts, so I'm just not going. And you say, okay, well, then we'll eat at home. And you miss going out to dinner. Cut your nose off to spite your face. If you don't think Oz is a perfect candidate, fine. I don't think he's a perfect candidate either, but he's better than Fetterman. So you have to take the lesser of two evils. You have to say, I'm voting for this guy, because if I don't, Fetterman might get in, and that'll be worse. See, that's the difference. Republicans, like, they want to stand on this high moral ground and say, well, I was the better man because I didn't agree with him on his policy about such and such, so I abstained from voting because I'm too principled. Okay, well, then you put Fetterman in office, moron. That's exactly what you did. They don't get that, Kohler.
No, you're absolutely right. And the more people that stayed home, the more people that stayed home and didn't vote because they didn't like the candidate, just basically voted for the same crapola that's going on now. They voted for higher gas prices, higher inflation, more crime, open borders, you name it. They voted all the negative things that are going on right now, they voted for, even when they didn't get out and vote.
Now, I have a Derek in the chat room is saying, well, I think that maybe a lot of people were turned off that Dr. Oz didn't really live in Pennsylvania. Well, okay. Well, then you voted for Fetterman. Are we turned off because Donald Trump lived in New York and that's a Republican state? I mean, a Democrat state? So how about if all the Republicans said, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. He does business in New York, and New York's a Democrat state, and he was a former Democrat. I'm not voting for him. I mean, if you want to be that ridiculous, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The Democrats wouldn't care if somebody crawled out of a swamp in the nether reaches of Ethiopia. They'd vote for him and claim he was born in America. Meanwhile, the Republicans are, I don't know, I didn't like his tie during the debate. I think his taste in clothing is a little bit left of center, so I'm just going to abstain because I'm so wonderfully principled. And you're too dumb to realize that your abstinence of voting put Fetterman in office, or helped put him there. You know what you got to do sometimes? Sometimes you got to hold your nose and swallow your medicine. Simple as that. Sometimes you got to hold your nose and swallow your medicine. Because it's better than the alternative, which is dying from the disease. And that's what this country has right now. This country has a disease, folks. And you're going to sit there and refuse to take the medicine because it doesn't taste very well. The medicine for this country is to elect Republicans. I don't care if they're moderate Republicans. I don't care if they're mega Republicans. I don't care if they're never Trump Republicans. I really don't even care if they're rhino Republicans at this point. Get the Republicans in first. Once they're in, then we can argue about, well, maybe we should try to, you know, primary them out with somebody better to our taste. But get them in first. You got to get them in first, and you staying home don't help. Now, there was big turnout. I don't think a lot of people stayed home. There was big turnouts. But the problem with those turnouts were we got a lot more people under the age of 25 voting because the abortion issue scared the hell out of them, including Republican leaning women. Thanks, Lindsey Graham, because while we were trying to give the message of Republicans aren't trying to end abortion in all 50 states, here's Lindsey Graham's dumbass on television saying, I'm trying to pass a bill that'll end abortion in all 50 states. Great. Thank you, Lindsey. You're a wonderful, wonderful addition to this party. You and Mitch McConnell, the turkey neck. The two of you need to pack your bags. Because you're directly responsible for this. Directly responsible. So I don't want to hear Lindsey Graham on television say, oh, well, I thought that I don't want to hear you no more. And I don't want to hear McConnell crowing at the crack of dawn either. I've had it with both of them, caller. They need to go. These are the people that are responsible for what happened.
I agree 100%. Lindsey Graham should have kept his mouth shut. Why he got on television and said all the wrong, and has been saying all the wrong things,
on purpose.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say that maybe somebody got to him.
Well, you don't know any better because that's exactly what happened. You don't go into the heart of Italy and say, I want to open up a restaurant here and I hate Italian food. All Italian food sucks. Yeah, people are going to just go straight to your restaurant. So Lindsey Graham gets on television, anybody that will have him, and say, we're going to pass a bill, make sure there ain't no abortion all in the whole country. And every single person who watched that said, that's not what I was led to believe. Maybe the Democrats are right. Maybe they are trying to take away all abortion rights. And guess what? I don't care if you're – I agree with you. I despise abortion. But here's the thing. 80% of the United States of America want some sort of abortion laws legalized. And guess what? 80% of the country votes. So you're going to have to make people happy. Just because it's not your personal opinion doesn't mean you don't have to grin and bear it. I love these people who want to stand on their principle and say, I will not vote candidate unless he absolutely says he will ban all abortion in all 50 states forever. Well, then you can sit on your ass and wait, because there ain't going to be one. They're never going to get elected. So what do you want? It's unbelievable. Keep standing on your principles. Keep doing it. Keep finding a reason why you don't agree with a Republican candidate so you won't vote for him even though it's your party. And just watch the Democrats keep snowballing right through us, laughing all the time how we're standing on our moral high ground while they're running the country, caller. Caller there?
Oh, I'm here.
No?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay.
Hello.
You got the floor.
Yes, no, you're 100% correct. And, you know, again, folks that were in the election that were running for, office in New York, that's where we live, that I didn't even know who they were. But I still voted my party. I'm not going to vote for.
Well, again, I don't, whether you know who they are or not, that's one thing. But here's the thing. Does Lee Zeldin represent every single thing that I believe should happen in the state of New York? Absolutely not. I disagree with Lee Zeldin about a lot of things. And Lee Zeldin voted many times, or gave his seal of approval to Cuomo on things I disagreed with. But is he better than Kathy Hochul? Hell yes, he's better than Kathy Hochul. I'm not going to sit there in a flood and say I won't get in a canoe. I'm waiting for a cruise ship to come. Oh, I'm going to drown? You got a canoe? That's okay. I'll wait for a cruise ship. Okay, and you'll drown. And that's exactly what's happening here, folks, and it needs to change. It needs to change. But so does the leadership of the Republican Party, because until it does, that's not going to change. Don't be too upset. We did take control of the House. I still think we're going to take control of the Senate, maybe by just a small margin. But something's got to change, folks, or 2024 could be ugly.
Second grade, we move on explicitly to gender identity and talk about it again in terms of your head and your heart and your body parts matching up. And does that work for you?
Marcus Game. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.